Resetting your priorities. If cravings are sabotaging your new food program, take heart. You are not the victim of a bad upbringing or a gluttonous personality. The fact is, you are not attracted to just any food or even to most foods. You may like apples, oranges, bananas, or asparagus, but you have never once turned to them for solace during moments of stress. You have never raced off to a convenience store because you just had to have cauliflower. You have turned to sugar, chocolate, cheese, or meat because these are more than mere foods. They have chemical effects on the brain. Some beverages, such as wine or coffee, also have drug-like effects and can be addictive. But as far as foods go, those four comprise the whole list. These foods work their unfortunate magic on just about everyone. Before we see what you might eat instead of that sugary donut, candy bar, or cheeseburger, let's look again at what happens inside your brain when you eat these foods. A network of cells deep inside the brain makes up what is sometimes called your pleasure center. Indeed, it is responsible for feelings of pleasure. Without it, life would be one big gray day. The pleasure center is not there just for fun, however. It is there to keep you alive and to maintain the species. Here is why. If you got absolutely no pleasure from eating, you would have no motivation to eat. You might forget about food entirely. Likewise, if sex were a total bore, the species would soon die out. Thus, when you eat or have sex, your pleasure center gives you a little bit of dopamine as a kind of reward. In the process, the dopamine release causes slight neurological changes, changes that put high priority status on repeating whatever you have just done. That was fun, your pleasure center seems to say. Let's be sure to do that again. In nature, this would mean getting a reward for finding a new food source or a receptive mate, with the result that you would take advantage of your find again and again. The problem is that this system is easily hijacked. Alcohol, recreational drugs, tobacco, and yes, unhealthy foods cause significant dopamine release. So not only do you like them, you also want to have them again and again. Your pleasure center rearranges your priorities to favor whatever stimulated it most recently. You find yourself planning your day around sugar or chocolate, just as an alcoholic might regularly think about where the next drink is coming from. If you have ever wondered why these otherwise banal foods have such sway, it is because they hijack your brain's pleasure circuitry and your internal priority setting system. Breaking free. If the occasional taste of sugar or chocolate is really not a big part of your life, there is no need to worry about it. But if your waistline is expanding before your very eyes, or your health is suffering from your food habits, it is time to wake up and smell the addiction. What do you do if you're hooked? The best way to deal with unhealthy foods is to avoid teasing yourself. Set them aside completely, at least for now. Do not keep them in the house and do not buy them. There is no need to worry about whether you will return to them in the future. For now, just leave them alone. In the process, your brain's priorities can return to what really is good for you. You are likely to find that your desire for unhealthy foods fades the longer you are away from them. The following steps will also help. Eat a healthy breakfast and don't skip meals. Cravings kick in when you are hungry. Get regular exercise so you're tired enough to sleep soundly and be sure to get plenty of rest. Cravings are stronger when you are not sleeping well. Avoid situations that trigger cravings. Some people find that their cravings are triggered by being alone, by television cooking shows, by concession stands at movie theaters, or by certain friends who are preoccupied with food problems of their own. Try to identify your triggers and eliminate them as much as possible. Getting the taste without the regrets. Sometimes a simple substitution can help you steer away from an unhealthful food. Here are a few. If you crave sugar, in recipes, maple syrup, molasses, sorghum syrup, and granulated sugarcane juice, sucanat, can sometimes substitute for table sugar. These are hardly health foods. The idea is to replace refined white sugar with a smaller amount of syrup or juice. They're so flavorful you won't notice you're using less. Stevia is an intensely sweet derivative of an herb from Paraguay. It is sold as a dietary supplement. Its use as a commercial food additive has not yet been approved. Sucralose, Splenda, is a calorie-free sweetener made from cane sugar to which chlorine has been chemically added, greatly increasing the sweetness of the final product. Sugar alcohols such as mannitol, sorbitol, and xylitol are low-calorie sweeteners sometimes used in candies, chewing gum, and desserts. They have about half the calories of table sugar. There are, of course, other artificial sweeteners. The disadvantage of a lot of them is that they do not help you break your love affair with sweets. So, when artificial sweeteners are not available, you will find yourself returning to sugar. My friend and colleague, Hans Diehl, Dr. HSC, head of the Coronary Health Improvement Project, says that the best thing to do for a sweet tooth is to have it pulled. The idea is that if you set sweets aside, you will eventually just forget about them. Of course, the best choices are fresh fruits, nature's sweet foods. It also helps to make sure your diet has adequate complex carbohydrate. Grains, sweet potatoes, and beans, for example. These foods provide the energy you need in a form that is much more healthful than sugar. If you crave chocolate, cocoa powder is essentially defatted chocolate. It can be used in beverages and baking or turned into a dip for strawberries or other fresh fruit. You can also find low-fat frozen ice cream substitutes made from soy, as well as sorbets. If you crave cheese, get to know nutritional yeast. Sold in the supplement aisle of health food stores, nutritional yeast flakes, not brewer's or baker's yeast, add a cheese-like flavor to sauces and casseroles. In recipes, you can replace ricotta or cottage cheese with mashed, water-packed tofu mixed with a little lemon juice. If you're choosing soy cheeses, read the label to check the fat content and to see whether they're made with added casein, the dairy protein. If you crave meat, good substitutes for hot dogs, burgers, and deli meats are now widely available. Seitan, made from wheat gluten, tofu, tempeh, and textured vegetable protein are versatile products that substitute well for meat in recipes. See the bonus disc, the menu and recipes section, for many ideas. Surprisingly enough, the desire for meat fades very rapidly once it is removed from the diet. People who thought they could not live without steak or a salmon fillet soon find they have absolutely no desire for it. Genetic influences on cravings. Although cravings can affect anyone, some people may be especially vulnerable. Researchers have found that some people are born with fewer receptors for dopamine, the brain chemical responsible for pleasurable feelings. Apparently, this lack means that they get less dopamine stimulation and less of the feel-good sensation that dopamine provides. This leaves them feeling a bit out of sorts compared to other people. As a result, they are drawn to tobacco, alcohol, or drugs. Presumably, they are seeking the stimulation that nature has not given them. They may even fall prey to compulsive gambling or compulsive eating. It all starts with a gene. The receptors for dopamine are built according to the specifications on your chromosomes, the long spiral staircase-shaped strings of genes in each of your cells that determine who you are. Your mother and father passed along their genes to you, and the makeup of your body reflects the combination of the two. If either parent passed along a gene for having too few dopamine receptors, you would have roughly one-third fewer receptors than other people. If you were able to sample individuals in smoking cessation programs or drug treatment clinics, you would find that as many as 40% have a gene that causes them to have too few receptors called dopamine receptor D2, or DRD2 for short. Several years ago, I found myself wondering if people who have trouble following a healthful diet may have this genetic variation. Ernest Noble, MD of the University of California, Los Angeles, conducted genetic analyses of our patients. To our surprise, he found that nearly half of our research participants with type 2 diabetes had the gene that was associated with fewer than normal dopamine receptors. That is far higher than the roughly 1 in 5 prevalence in the general population. This raised a disturbing question. Did the lack of dopamine receptors lead them to overeat? Did overeating then lead to weight gain, which in turn triggered diabetes? We have not yet sorted all this out, but we did find that while people with this gene improved a great deal on our diet, they got somewhat less benefit compared to those with the normal number of dopamine receptors. Their A1C values dropped by about 9/10 of a percentage point on average, compared to a drop of 1.6 points for those without the gene. Could this gene mean some people are born with less resistance to the temptations of unhealthful foods? Or is there perhaps some direct biochemical effect of a lack of dopamine? Does less dopamine equal greater insulin resistance? We do not yet know. At present, this type of genetic testing is done only in research studies. Your doctor cannot determine whether you are genetically endowed with fewer dopamine receptors. In fact, as far as your food plan is concerned, it doesn't matter. Regardless of your genetic makeup, the diet described in this book is very likely to help you. I raise the issue of genetics simply to underscore the point that cravings and food addictions are physical, not moral issues. They are due to the properties of foods themselves that interact with our natural biochemistry. One final point. If certain foods act like drugs, it pays to treat them like drugs. In other words, avoid them. Just as it is harder for a smoker to cut down than to quit, and harder for an alcoholic to drink wine moderately than to quit drinking altogether, it is very tough to tease yourself with foods that have you in their clutches. It is actually easier to leave them alone completely and do your best to forget about them. If you have not had one of these biochemically active foods in a few weeks, you crave it much less than you would if you had it yesterday. Digestive problems. A plant-based diet is great for people who have been bothered by constipation. Its natural fiber is what your digestive tract needs. Some foods can cause a bit of gassiness, however. If you experience this, here's what to do about it. First, only certain foods cause gas. Grains, fruits, and most vegetables get a not guilty verdict. Beans and undercooked cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts, for example, are the main culprits. Chances are, all you need to do is have smaller servings. If you've been replacing a huge steak with a huge plate of beans, remember that a small amount of beans goes a long way. Try downsizing your portions. Over time, you will find that your body adjusts so you can have larger portions with less gassiness. If you cook beans from scratch, be sure to discard the water used to soak them and then cook them in fresh water. Cook them well. There are no al dente beans. The same goes for cruciferous vegetables. Yes, we all love a stalk of fresh broccoli from the crudité tray, but if that gives you digestive trouble, cook vegetables until you can easily pierce them with a fork. It goes without saying that you want to avoid dairy products and sugar. Dairy products, of course, are already off the list, but digestive problems are yet another reason to steer clear of them, as you saw in Chapter 4. The lactose, milk sugar, that makes up fully 55% of the calories in fat-free milk causes many people to have gas, cramps, and diarrhea. Here is why. During infancy, the lactase enzyme is produced within the body and breaks lactose apart in the baby's intestinal tract so that it can be absorbed and used for energy. As children leave infancy behind, however, most lose this enzyme. The result, lactose intolerance, was once thought to be abnormal, but it is now known to be the biological norm, not only for humans, but for all mammals. Because the body's lactase production slacks off gradually, many people do not make the connection between their digestive symptoms and milk products. In about 85% of Caucasians, a genetic mutation causes the lactase enzyme to persist well into adulthood. Even so, lactose intolerance will eventually affect many of them, too. Deleting dairy products from the menu for a few days will show you whether you are among them. Some adults have trouble digesting table sugar, sucrose. Once again, it is easy to check. Simply set it aside for a few days and see if your symptoms improve. High triglycerides. When your doctor checks your cholesterol, triglycerides will also be listed on the laboratory report. Triglycerides are molecules of fat that are transported in the blood for various purposes. As with cholesterol, having a certain amount of triglycerides in the blood is a normal part of human biochemistry. However, when triglycerides are high, they increase the risk of heart problems, diseases of the pancreas, and other problems. As you learned in Chapter 7, a normal triglyceride concentration is less than 150 milligrams per deciliter. Values of 150 to 199 milligrams per deciliter are considered borderline, and values of 200 to 499 milligrams per deciliter are high. Concentrations of 500 milligrams per deciliter or higher are considered very high. Some studies have suggested that diets high in refined carbohydrates may cause a temporary rise in triglycerides. High fiber and low GI foods appear to have the opposite effect. You will want to make a special point of favoring these foods. In addition, a low-fat vegan diet helps you lose weight, which in turn reduces triglycerides. Regular exercise helps too. Moderate physical activity such as walking lowers triglyceride concentrations by an average of 10 milligrams per deciliter, and more strenuous activity can have greater effects. You will also benefit by avoiding alcohol. Alcohol appears to raise triglycerides slightly, so when you avoid it, triglycerides slide back down. Interaction between vegetables and prescription blood thinners. Warfarin, Coumadin, is a blood thinner prescribed to prevent heart attacks, strokes, blood clots in the legs, and other problems. It acts by antagonizing the effects of vitamin K, which is involved in building the proteins your body uses in the clotting process. Many people taking warfarin believe they have to avoid vegetables, especially green leafy vegetables that are rich in vitamin K, because the vitamin will affect their tendency to form clots. But avoiding these healthful foods will leave them very low in important vitamins and minerals. I encourage you to discuss this issue with your doctor and your dietitian. But the answer is not to avoid vegetables. What matters is maintaining a fairly steady amount of them in your diet so your warfarin dosage does not need to be continually adjusted. If you eat lots of healthy vegetables and then suddenly stop, warfarin's actions become stronger, increasing the risk of bleeding. On the other hand, if you were to generally avoid vegetables and one day suddenly increase your intake, the vitamin K in these foods would have the opposite effect, making it easier for your body to form clots. Bottom line, enjoy vegetables and keep the amount fairly constant from day to day. By the way, alcohol increases warfarin's effects, which is why doctors encourage people taking it to avoid alcohol. Many medications, such as aspirin, acetaminophen, and many others, can also accentuate warfarin's action. If you have hit any bumps in the road, I hope you have found these suggestions helpful and that you are now back on track with a healthful diet.